we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello, and welcome again to the news quiz. Before we start tonight's show, here's a small but important announcement.
Following complaints about references to Asian weasels in last week's programme, the news quiz wishes to apologise to listening weasels everywhere. The news quiz is not and never has been a weaselist programme and makes a point of respecting equally the rights of weasels of all creeds and races, just as it respects the rights of all members of rodent genera. Just don't get us started on marsupials, that's all.
We start with a cutting sent in by Peter Manning, read by Vaughan Savage.
Patients suffering from diarrhoea and vomiting have filled a ward at Medway Maritime Hospital.
Let's meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Linda Smith. Opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and a newcomer to the news quiz, Phil Jupiters. Francis, we begin with part A of the war question, the away leg. So, with your foreign affairs hat on, boom, bang, a bang, discuss.
What war would that be, then? It's... No, I do know this. We've declared war on Nasser Hussein or someone like that. I think the gist of it is that we're at war, and I think Blair imagines that he's playing the part of Sergeant Wilson to Bush's Captain Mannering, so he's tried to act as a restraining influence. Do you think that's wise, sir? To which, of course, Bush says, I'm the commanding officer, sir. I give the orders. And Blair says, very good, sir, very good, sir. There was some ITN reporter in the Kuwait desert doing a very sort of somber and serious piece to camera live, and a British squaddie dressed up as Elvis Presley leapt out from behind the sand dune and started prancing around behind him.
I'm a huge admirer of Phil Jupiters, but when the seat beside me fell vacant, I really felt the BBC might have put in Vera Lynn. Someone you want for the big occasion, and you're here in place of Jeremy, you know, is fighting with the 17th, 21st pacifist rifles, I think.
Pass me that gun, I need to fight somebody. What's the point of having a war, really? Just sand everywhere.
War began on Thursday with the launch of several smart bombs, followed the next day with the launch of several chino-clad dress-down Friday bombs. Linda, here's part B of the war question.
Oh.
Who's been revolting on the home front?
Well, of course, Labour MPs have been revolting. Notably, of course, Robin Cook, who I have to issue an apology now. A few weeks ago on this show, I made a joke that implied that he was perhaps some sort of unsightly troll. I was so very wrong. He is a prince among men and very tall, dark and handsome, I've decided now. So he's a bit of a hero, I think. However, Claire Short... Now then, as far as I can ascertain from that rather curious mode of speech she employs, whereby she doesn't move her mouth or lips, so it's a kind of auto-ventriloquism she does, isn't it? It's like she is both the artiste and the dummy. Apparently, the war she doesn't agree with, she had to support in the vote, because if she's not there not agreeing with it, she couldn't be there in order to reconstruct Iraq when, against her wishes, it's destroyed. Now, of course, the logic of this is easier to understand if you are deranged. Strange little kit we're meant to have. Tinned food, bottled water, sturdy torch, and a battery-operated radio. I imagine that's so we don't miss the archers.
What are we supposed to do with the plastic sheeting, exactly?
I put it inside your underwear. It's going to be... it's polythene. It stops bombs coming through it. You must have seen those Tom and Jerry films where the bomb hits the polythene and then goes all the way back.
Tony Blair won a Commons mandate for war with Iraq despite a massive Labour backbench revolt by 139 MPs. Robin Cook resigned following his resignation. Mr Cook is likely to be offered a job either at the European Union or as a pond ornament. Also this week, Claire Short refused to leave the cabinet, saying, I know I'll be vilified. I'd be more popular, but I'd be copping out. I may well be on borrowed time, so be it.
Good God.
You'd think the ghost of Bernard Miles came past you. I can't.
Was that Clary Grundy?
Tonight, Matthew.
Phil, welcome to the show. Who's keeping the home fires burning?
Thanks, lovely to be here. Has anything happened? it's the fire brigade. Poor old Andy Gilchrist has been got by democracy because the union don't want to accept the secret offer that he got offered by John Prescott. You know, Prescott came along and he's offered him 16% instead of the 40 they were after, with no strings attached. And Andy says, yeah, we should take this now. Because
hold on a minute, though. John Prescott, are you sure that was a secret offer and not a totally baffling offer?
I think the offer it was, because Prescott is a bit Andy. I think it's like The Sopranos. He gets him in a room.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't bloody understand.
The fire brigade can't really, you know, this whole, oh, we're at war, you can't go on strike because there's a war on. And, you know, the army presumably are busy, so they can't drive the Green Goddesses. So there's 19,000 firefighters they've got to find from somewhere in the community. I'm thinking lower division football teams might be good. They're used to working together. Handy with a hose. Infant school children love playing with water. Many of his members are complaining because they've gone through this dispute for 6 months. Some of us saying we've lost £1,000, and Andy's thinking, oh, I could get a curry for that.
Following the FBU's decision to reject their latest pay offer, John Prescott's planning to rush through legislation to impose a pay deal. The leader of the FBU said, I know I'll be vilified. I'll be more popular. I may well be on borrowed time, so be it. 2 points to Phil. Alan, listen to this. Bugging the EU.
So this building, which houses the EU something, one of their completely unnecessary pieces of bureaucracy, it's called Justius Lipsius, the building, which I think is Latin for my lips are sealed, except for cash. And it was swept so that lips would be sealed and there'd be no secrets, because there is a meeting between Tony Blair and Chirac. And these bugs were supposed to eavesdrop them. I rather think that when Blair meets Chirac, if they opened a window, that people would be able to hear him in Tewkesbury. But anyway, bugs were put into this thing, and then it was swept again. They found these bugs, and everybody is extremely upset.
Doesn't sound like the hottest building to set your recording equipment up in. Just dull European bureaucracy going on, you know. I am thinking of maybe we should be extending the dike facilities in Holland. Just hours and hours of that, you know. What do you want for lunch? baguette? Ça va? Oui? Bon? Then in the English one, what would you like for lunch? I like chips. That's it. Hours and hours of that sort of... And I can put it on BBC Three.
Europe Uncovered on Three.
Europe's disputes have deepened with the discovery of bugs planted in the EU offices of the British, French, German, Spanish, Italian and Austrian governments. One British diplomatic official was said to be absolutely livid and threatened to resign, but later backed down saying, hey, now I'll be vilified. We start round two with a cutting from the Watford Free Observer.
Three Rivers Cat Protection in Rickmansworth require kind-hearted cat lovers who can offer cats in need a temporary home and a little love. All expenses paid, including vet bills. Also, we offer help with neutering costs for pensioners and people on benefits.
Thanks to Lucy Holmes of Camden for that. Francis, which Amazonian figures did not compute?
Oh, it's about those computers. Amazon.co.uk had some pocket computers, and one that normally costs 500 quid was advertised at £29 or something, and then there's a cheaper version that normally costs 200, and it was up for 7 quid. And word whizzed around the internet, as it does, and hundreds of people ordered these at the giveaway prices. And for a moment it looks as if it might be rather jolly, like that old Hoover tickets fiasco years ago, when Hoover said they'd give free tickets, air tickets to America to anyone who filled in a form, and thousands did, and practically bankrupted them. Except that Amazon being spoil sports, said they're not going to honour all these orders. And so they're, I don't know if they're allowed not to honour them, but they say they're not. I mean, it's, we're really trespassing into you and yours territory here, if not...
Dangerously
I think
close.
I'll leave it to the Moneybox Live team.
Do you know, if you do some ecstasy and listen to Moneybox Live, it doesn't sound any better.
Whatever happened to Louise Botting?
She's I think people anymore, kept saying her name.
I think she's on UK Living presenting a niche programme called Botting's Yachting, which is in a boat going around the Channel Islands.
I think she does all sorts of handicrafts. There's Botting's Knotting.
Oh, that's a good one.
And a gardening programme, Botting's Potting.
That's not a gardening programme.
I think
it's Louise Botting in front of a bong. Listening to Grateful Dead albums. The best 4 hours of telly you'll ever see.
Internet retailer Amazon was forced to shut its website after a mistake in which £500 iPac computers were offered for £23. A Palm Pilot is actually a small handheld computer and not the man who helps George Bush find the doorknob. Linda, why do girls just want to have fun and 19 pints of lager?
Well, I think this is not so much girls want to have fun, is it? Girls want to have extreme violence, isn't it? Yeah, girls want to... Apparently, vast increase in women getting involved in drunken brawls. Because women apparently go out, get completely bladdered, and just get into fights. I've never encountered this myself. I don't... I can't say... you live in Essex, don't you? What goes off down there?
I don't know. I tend to lie low in my bunker on a Friday night for that very reason, actually.
I think you do well, so
especially when Theresa Gorman's on the rampage.
I can imagine that could get a bit leery, couldn't it? I suppose it's just a reversal of the old sort of, you know, where girls would hold back lads. Now it's sort of lads holding back girls going, leave it, Sharon, you'll kill her. It's not worth it. Oh, no, don't. She goes mad, honestly. No, it's just the red mist goes down and that's it. She's gone. But apparently this is all at the same time as we're drinking less beer. So I suppose they're doing all this on Bazique, which is scary. Baby Shams with a lighter fuel top, I guess.
There was another taboo-related stabbing in Kettering last week.
They're calling it the Malibu Massacre.
They wanted, didn't they want the breweries or the pubs to pay? And I think that this whole thing is self-funding. You put CCTV footage of women fighting on Sky.
When ladies go violent.
The Violence Research Group has found that more women than ever are becoming involved in drunken woman-on-woman barroom brawls. Publicans were accused of sexism for not taking the matter seriously. One landlord denied the claim, saying it even fitted a mud bath just so the fighting women wouldn't hurt themselves.
Who joins the Violence Research Group? I mean, what degree do you have to have? How do you go down this career path?
It's the University of Rucking, actually. The University of going off.
Of being lowered into a pub in a cage to observe the fights. These little specky blokes going, look at her, go.
Coming up white face saying, we need a bigger cage.
Phil, listen to this.
They give you fever when you kiss them. Fever, if you live, you learn. Fever, till you sizzle. Oh, what a lovely way to burn.
Fever by Claire Short. Why is it fever in the morning, fever all through the night, causing worldwide concern, Phil?
We got ourselves a mystery bug, which has been named as it's severe acute respiratory syndrome, or as we call it now in our shock headlines, SARS. SARS is sweeping the world, and it started in Hong Kong, and some blokes brought it to Manchester, but obviously not brought it, you know. What? I'll take that to Manchester. I'll sell a bit of that with my polythene and my water. No, there's a bloke in Manchester, but he's getting better. Someone's got it in Dublin, apparently. Germany, Hong Kong, Chinese mainland, and researchers have been trying to find out exactly what sort of virus it is. And the guy from the World Health Organization said, we're working on it. It might take a while. That's what he said. Now, where is Dustin Hoffman chasing a monkey around the world? When I want an illness sport, I want primates being chased down in the suburbs. We can't stop the disease till we find the monkey. That's fun. That's a fun disease. Whereas this is just a load of boffins in Germany and China going, yes, we're working on it. We'll let you know when we got a cure. Otherwise, carry on. Wrap up warm.
A mystery pneumonia illness has triggered a rare warning of a worldwide health threat from international experts. This particular strain of virus is generally slow-moving, restricted to families, and very unpleasant, making it the Prince Philip of international diseases. Alan, who's got a hair-raising answer for the follicularly challenged?
Yeah, I don't believe this story. They've developed a protein which grows hair on men and removes it from women. But the protein itself is called Noggin, N-O-G-G-I-N. And I looked at that and I thought, it is April the 1st, it is some wind-up, somebody trying to cheer us up because the war is on.
You can imagine, that, you know, a freak show owner reading that thinking, God, I've got to hide this. She's my main attraction. The Osama bin Laden lookalike lady.
That's the thing with all these Saddam looky-likies, isn't it? You know, it's going to, when he goes, it's going to be like the Diana looky-likeys all over again. A whole industry collapses. How will they be redeployed?
Well, there'll be a big army like Elvis. There'll just be tribute Saddams.
Chinese.
He lives
Chinese
on in
Saddams.
Our hearts.
That could be our secret weapon in this war, the noggin. All their moustaches would fall out. And then they'd have to go around impersonating Jeffrey Palmer.
We have deployed the Noggin missiles. A 10-megaton Noggin missile will hit his palace, rendering him totally hairless. And then he will, finally, look like Dr. Evil. Mini Saddam, come with me. How was the war, Saddam? The war was cool. Would Minnie Saddam like a falafel?
Oh, that's... Have you ever played that, Phil? The Baghdad Comedy Festival, just falafels.
Scientists at New York's Rockefeller University claim they've identified the chemical triggers that turn skin into hair, offering hopes of a cure for balding men and hirsute women. The cause of male alopecia has been identified as dihydrotestosterone, which, as any Latinist will tell you, means sticking both testicles in water. Before we start the final round, here's a listing from a recent issue of the Radio Times.
The Royal Tenenbaums, this brilliantly performed story about a gifted but dysfunctional New York family, restores one's faith in American cinema, contains violence, swearing, drug abuse and nudity.
Charlie Bradshaw of Chelsea for that. Francis, listen to this.
Very superstitious. The devil's on his way.
Francis, is that a rabbit's foot in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me?
It's a professor, a psychologist at the University of Hertfordshire, who did a survey on how superstitious we are, and the answer was very superstitious, indeed. And the Scots, above all, he found that the Scots were the most superstitious people in Britain.
That's because we're all doomed.
Well, it is. It's very much like that, I'm afraid. And they have particular individual obsessions, like some of them put on their left sock before their right sock, or, you know, they have a phobia about putting their hand in their pockets, that sort of thing. Lord Irvin, I don't think he regards himself as an anxious loser, does he?
I don't know, you know him better than us.
I do, I met him once at a friend's birthday party a few years ago, and there was this very drunken man lurching about various women in the room, and he came up to one of these women and said, "Hello, I'm... And he couldn't say his own name. He kept saying, "I'm Dario. Dario." And someone said, "Oh, you're called Dario. You're Italian, are you?" And he said, "No, I'm Jerry Irvin, Lord Chancellor."
I think the producers should keep this in. I want to find out just how good a lawyer he is.
According to a nationwide survey, the onset of war may have triggered a significant increase in superstitious rituals. The Scots are the most superstitious people in Britain, though they only think a black cat is lucky if it crosses their path while they're carrying a deep fat fryer. Linda, why is it a case of danger, gardener up ahead?
Because gardening is the most dangerous extreme sport available to humanity. And apparently there are many high-profile gardening accident victims. And I think it's in the Telegraph, it said, a high-profile gardening accident victim is Prince Charles, who had to have a hernia operation after injuring himself at Highgrove and Jermaine Greer.
A report published this week by a parliamentary group on gardening accidents described gardening as the ultimate danger sport. Prince Charles lent his support to the findings and admitted that he'd often been hurt by his garden. Well, only a couple of weeks ago, a begonia told him he was a useless old twat who'd never be king. Phil, why are Britons flying lighter this year?
Ay, chihuahua. Apparently, British Airlines not very good at keeping the old luggage on your flight for you. The statistics, though, aren't that alarming. Apparently, BA's loses a lot of luggage. The figure is, out of every 1,000 trips, 27 of those will get their luggage lost. Not funny, but accurate. UK Airlines are, they lose quite a lot of baggage. They're not that good. And Dutch Airlines, they lose it, but when you've got to Amsterdam, you don't realise you've lost it anyway, so...
How does your baggage get lost? It goes on the plane, you go on the plane goes where you're going, you get off. Why doesn't your baggage get off? I don't understand.
I think I should follow the example of the Jamaican drug mules and just shove all my clothes up my arse and...
It's like flags of all nations.
It'll be a lovely moment, get it all out at the other end. Like unloading a tumble dryer. What a terrible visual image. I love radio.
A new report shows that Britain's two largest full-service airlines are among the worst in Europe for losing passengers' bags. However, Air France is even worse than British Airways, mainly because they veto passengers' luggage before it even gets on the plane. Alan, why do astronomers go home for ET?
It's
about the search for alien life.
Yeah, I know this.
Oh, it says radio. The radio signals in outer space.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, they got something like 4 million signals from space. And then they did the world's biggest ever computation over the last 2 years, where they got everybody that's got a home computer, and when it's sort of on downtime on the screensaver, they use the screensaving facility on the computer to do this calculation. 4 million different signals from space, many of which they think could possibly, the SETI people, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, think that they might be aliens. They've narrowed it down to 200 now, they reckon could be, and it's going to take them a couple of years. They're like the blokes looking for the cure for the bug. Yeah, we've got them. We'll let you know when we found them. But if it is aliens and they trace the computers back, it's going to be some poor sod in Basildon that's like, oh, I'll hook myself up to this. That'll be a laugh.
We have found the overlord of Earth. He is called Terry and he liked porn.
It's just geeks across the universe. Yeah. That's, at the other end, it's just blokes on computers going, oh, let's see if we can find anyone else. Communicating across light years.
Oh, what sort of computer you got? I've got one like you. Brilliant. Have you got a hot finger? No. Do you like porn? Yeah. What colour's your skin? I don't know. We don't have the same colour words as you. Green. What's green? I don't understand.
Yeah, go like that.
Astronomers are using the Arecibo radio telescope to observe the most interesting sights thrown up by the search. They're currently focusing their attention on a constellation known to the ancient Greeks as the Asian Weasels. Commenting on the failure so far to locate intelligent life in the universe, the chief scientist in charge of the program said, "I know I'll be vilified." Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This is from the Daily Telegraph. George Doughty struck a blow for frustrated computer users everywhere this week by shooting his delinquent laptop 4 times. Police charged him with felony, menacing and reckless endangerment and put him in a cell for the night to calm down. Have-a-go hero Doughty said he realises he should not have shot his computer, but at the time, it seemed the right thing to do.
Phil.
This is from an email address, so it's someone called Dallask. I dare say that's not their real name. We will not have him put down. Lucky is basically a damn good guide dog. Ernst Gerber, a dog trainer from Wuppertal, told reporters he just needs a little brush up on some elementary skills is all. Gerber admitted to the press conference that Lucky, a German shepherd guide dog for the blind, had so far been responsible for the deaths of all 4 of his previous owners. I admit, it's not an impressive record on paper. He led his first owner in front of a bus and the second off the end of a pier. He actually pushed the third owner off a railway platform just as the Cologne to Frankfurt Express was approaching, and he walked his fourth owner into heavy traffic before abandoning him and running back to safety. But apart from his epileptic fits, he has a lovely temperament. And guide dogs are difficult to train these days. Asked if Lucky's fifth owner would be told about his previous record, Gerber replied, "No, it would make them nervous." And it would make Lucky nervous. And when Lucky gets nervous, he's liable to do something silly.
Alan, from the Gloucester Mercury. And he says, organisers of the Mickleton Spring Fair have yielded to protests by animal rights activists and the traditional pig wrestling contest, an annual event since the 16th century, will not take place this year. The owner of the pig, which has taken part for the last 8 years, Mr. Geoffrey Tanner, is furious. Quotes, "These people know nothing about pigs or what they enjoy. Last year, Sam bit 3 contestants, trampled 2 others, and broke the leg of a 3rd without hurting himself in any way. Now he has been deprived of his day of fun. I've been looking forward to him competing for many years to come, but that's all over now. He's very special, he's got a great personality, and because of these ignorant fools, I'm going to end up eating him."
Thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which are Phil and Alan have a perfect 16, but somehow, miraculously, Francis and Linda, this week's winners, with 17. And before we leave you, here's an item from The Independent on Sunday.
A New Zealander who was seen careering down a road while standing half-naked on a motorised bar stool with flames coming out of a rolled-up newspaper held between his buttocks has appeared in court. He admitted being in charge of an unlicensed vehicle.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Linda Smith, Phil Jupitus and Alan Collins. The chairman was Simon Hoggett, and the news was read by me, Vaughan Savage. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark and Paul McKenzie. The panellists' weasels were supplied by Marika Good, and the producer was Simon Nichols.